Welcome to HowStuffWorks Now. I'm your host, Lauren Vogelbaum, a researcher and writer here at HowStuffWorks. Every week, I'm bringing you three stories from our team about the weird and wondrous advances we've seen in science, technology, and culture. This week, research suggests that stair climbing is at least as effective at boosting your energy as a cup of tea or coffee. And, unrelated, a study into the interpersonal politics of the Supreme Court shows that female justices are interrupted three times as often as their male cohorts. But first, senior editor Catherine Whitborn and our freelance writer Melanie Redzicki McManus, which is one of my favorite names to say, have a report for us about how today's teens are doing compared with prior generations. It came to our attention via a compatriot podcast, The Stuff of Life. Here's the story.
Smoking rates, lower. Drinking rates, lower. Premarital sex and fistfight rates, lower and lower. The teenage years used to be fraught with peril, but not anymore. Results of the U.S. government's latest Youth Risk Behavior Surveillance System survey, taken in 2015, shows teens are dialing back on unsafe behaviors. Consider some of these stats. In 1991, the first year the survey was taken, 27% of teens smoked. By 2015, that figure was around 11%, a 61% decline. In 1991, 82% of teens had tried booze. That dropped to 63% by 2015. And in 1991, 54% of teens had already had sex, while in 2015, the figure was just 41%. Of course, it's not like today's teens are perfect. Obesity rates are much higher than 26 years ago, and correspondingly, today's teens eat fewer vegetables. The percentage of teens who have tried marijuana was 39% in 2015, compared to 31% in 1991. And while smoking rates are down, 24% of teens are getting tobacco through e-cigarettes or hookahs. But one of the most concerning new risky behaviors is texting while driving, something not possible in 1991. The 2015 survey showed 42% of teens who had driven a vehicle during the past 30 days had texted or emailed while driving. To dig into this topic further, download the Stuff of Life podcast, Teen Dream, which takes a look at why we tend to fondly remember our teenage years and forget about all of the confusion, anxiety, and angst they often cause.
Next up, staff editor Christopher Hasiotis and our freelancer Shelley Danzy dive into the results of a study into exercise versus caffeinated beverages for waking you up. Though, for the generalized record, you can take my life, but you can never take my coffee.
Tired at the office? Worn out at work? Bypass the long latte lines and the vending machine sodas and head for the nearest stairwell. Researchers at the University of Georgia's College of Education found that when you pace yourself, walking up and down stairs for 10 minutes gives you a better energy boost than consuming 50 milligrams of caffeine, which is the average amount of caffeine found in coffee, tea, and sodas. The study, published in the journal Physiology and Behavior, followed 18 physically active college women aged 18 to 23, who were identified as consuming so-called non-extreme amounts of caffeine, so from 40 milligrams all the way to 400 milligrams per day. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration equates 400 milligrams of caffeine to about 4 or 5 cups of Java. But don't let that milligram high give you jitters. The FDA says that it's usually not associated with negative effects. In addition to their modest caffeine habit, the participants in the study all experienced chronic insufficient sleep patterns, or fewer than 45 hours of snoozing each week. The researchers sought to compare an exercise easily accessible to desk sitters, who typically have less time for activity, but not enough time for a full exercise routine requiring the whole change into sweat clothes, shower, and change back into work attire thing. On some days, the participants swallowed a 50 milligram caffeine capsule or a flower placebo. On the other days, they walked up and down stairs at a moderate pace for 10 minutes, covering about 30 floors. To be sure there was a distinction between the effects of the caffeine and the exercise, the participants took cognitive, verbal, and computer-based tests, measuring vigor, working memory, attention, and reaction time. Stairwalkers did have a slight energy boost, although there were no sizable improvements in either attention or memory due to the caffeine or exercise. The researchers acknowledge that there's more research to be done, but it seems that, yep, taking the stairs can put pep in your step.
Finally this week, Christian Sager, who you may have heard on podcasts like Brainstuff, Stuff to Blow Your Mind, and Super Context, brings us a story that our freelancer Lori L. Dove wrote exploring research into the speech patterns and interpersonal dynamics of Supreme Court justices. It found disparities along both gender and ideological lines.
A new study has found that male justices interrupt their female counterparts 3 times more than they interrupt other men on the bench. Tanya Jacoby, a professor at Pritzker School of Law at Northwestern University in Chicago, along with law student Dylan Schwiers, examined a 12-year period for the effects of gender, ideology, and seniority, calculating the number of times justices were interrupted. The results revealed that out of 7,239 interruptions from 2004 to 2015, female justices were subject to 32% of disruptions. In contrast, the female justices only interrupted other justices 4% of the time. Even some of the male attorneys appearing before the Supreme Court talked over female justices as they were speaking, a move that's expressly forbidden in the court's conduct guide. This study also found ideological disparity, citing evidence that conservatives interrupt liberals at significantly higher rates, and seniority played a minor role when it came to jumping into a conversation, according to the study's authors. As the 3 women currently serving on the court are also liberal, the researchers address this overlap by analyzing different court makeups over time, by also incorporating the years 1990 and 2002 into their research, in which the gender count differed. Quote, if female justices are consistently interrupted more than their male counterparts in this context, it would show that gender dynamics are so powerful to persist even in the face of high levels of power achieved by women, says Jacoby. The study also revealed details about the relationships between justices and how they may see one another. Relatively liberal Justice Stephen Breyer seemed to particularly irk the now-deceased Justin Antonin Scalia, a prominent conservative. The authors wrote, Scalia interrupted Breyer at such an extraordinary rate as to dwarf all other interruptions. In fact, Justice Scalia interrupted Justice Breyer nearly 7 times as frequently as he did Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, another liberal, for instance. And by the way, around here, we refer to her as the notorious RBG. These inequities are something researchers have been studying since at least 1975, when 2 sociologists at the University of California of Santa Barbara secretly recorded 2-person conversations in public places. Although the study was small, just 31 exchanges, it revealed that in mixed gender conversations, men were responsible for 47 of the 48 interruptions in those conversations. Larger studies have replicated the findings, including a 2014 project at George Washington University, which found that men interrupted women 33% more during a 3-minute discussion than when they were talking with other men. One suggested solution to all this interrupting is to drop gendered speech patterns. Women are more likely to jump into discussions with starter phrases like, may I ask, or other connecting phrases. The female Supreme Court justices who have become most successful in being heard have adapted speech patterns similar to their male counterparts. Jacoby wrote, 3 of the 4 women who have served on the court show clear downward trends in their use of polite words. Phrasing. Very few of the men show similar patterns. The female justices keep talking, despite being interrupted, and when they are the ones jumping into a conversation, they delve right into the point they are making. Researchers say it helps to use words that display conviction, such as no instead of believe, and speak in shorter sentences that are more difficult to interrupt. Perhaps the most effective strategy of all? Simply ask the interrupter to wait until you are done.
That's our show for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Further thanks to our audio tech, Tristan McNeil, our audio producer, Dylan Fagan, and our editorial liaisons, Christopher Hasiotis and Allison Loudermilk. Subscribe to Now for more of the latest science news, and send us links to anything you'd like to hear us cover. Plus, do you attend a local Renaissance festival? What do you dig about it? You can send us an email at nowpodcast@howstuffworks.com. And, of course, for lots more stories like these, head on over to our home planet, now.howstuffworks.com.